자, 이걸 프레임한다. All glory is the symbol of Jesus. All glory is the symbol of Jesus. All glory is the symbol of Jesus. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, we're broadcasting.
Yeah.
That's good, so. I don't have my camera. So, speak a little bit. Om Vayana Timida Dasha Gananjana Shlokya Chakshur Vedi Tami Anyway, thank you for coming here. So many nice Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis have come. I feel honored to see you all. So, we'd like to speak tonight about the coronavirus. Indirectly. Everybody's made talking. So I was thinking about that, talking about the rasas.
No, it's not me.
It's
amazing.
No, it's the I. Alright. So, thinking about the rasas, you know, the taste of relationship, that's what a ras means. Something funky is going on.
The kids playing.
Yeah. Oh, so they don't have mobile phones yet. Okay, got it. They just have iPads. So, of course, I think everybody here is acquainted with the five direct rasas. You know, Shanti ras, Dasha ras, Lakshmi ras, Vatsalya ras, Madhurya ras. But you may not be acquainted with the seven indirect rasas. Things like abhuta, shock, or ghastliness, or fear, or humor, or chivalry. So I was thinking about this with the coronavirus. Sorry, so let's get back to mundane topics. So that people actually enjoy being fearful. Enjoy being angry. I mean, of course, the enjoyment in this world, it's not really enjoyment. It just makes people forget how miserable they are. So, because the most miserable thing actually is boredom, as far as I know. Of course, the pain is miserable too. So, I was thinking about this in the spiritual world. You know, people are so fearful now. You know, they just like, if they see someone that they think comes from China, even I was like that. I was in Delhi, and I saw some people coming from China, and I just ran to the other side of the airport. But it's sort of an enjoyable feeling. It is. I mean, people go to amusement parks nowadays. Not only nowadays, of course they don't go to amusement parks now because they're afraid of catching virus, but they go to amusement parks and they go on all these rides that make them afraid. I remember going on that roller coaster, what do you call them here?
Yeah.
Roller coaster. Probably just called coaster. In Australia, usually it's shortened. Right? I like a coaster. So I remember going on that. One time in my life I went on it. And everyone was, especially the ladies. That was the worst part of it. I mean, the fear was all right, but the ladies screaming was too much for me. So going down. And then people go on the next ride. You know, there's another one called the centrifuge.
Oh, yeah.
You know about that. Mm-hmm. Where you just like get pressed against the wall with like 5 G's. That your skin is just like coming off on your face and everything. And there was another one, the haunted house. Mm-hmm. Haunted house?
Yeah.
Where you get in this little cart, you ride around and a skeleton jumps out at you. And people are enjoying it this way. It's actually not enjoyment. But anyway, because we are meant to enjoy rest. And I was thinking of this in relationship to Lord Rama's pastimes. Actually, my trip here, I've been reading the Ramayana. It's actually a nice way to pass time on a long plane trip. Mm-hmm. On a long plane trip, it's hard to really get into philosophy that much. Maybe studying the Bhagavad Gita, but after learning a few verses and preaching it to the person sitting next to you, he tells you to shut up, you know. So reading the Ramayana and really seeing how much intense emotions are there in the Ramayana. I mean, really intense emotions. It's actually, you could say it's an adventure story, it's a romance story, but it's actually a story of Rus. Like, Krishna is called Rasa Raj. And he's the actual king of Rus. So when Krishna enjoys these different tastes, he enjoys them to an extreme degree. Like, for example, I mean, first part of the Ramayana, the Yojikand, you have Dasarath experiencing this intense separation from Ram. When Ram, I mean, an anger towards his wife. Nice Kaikeyi. That's a nice story. I mean, it's just like, you can see the intense emotions that are there. Like Mantara, she sort of like stirs up the intense emotions in Kaikeyi, right? Kaikeyi at one time is very joyful, and the Mantara makes her completely like miserable and angry and envious by bad association. And then she goes into the angry room in the palace. Actually, in these queens, they all had angry rooms in their palaces. So those of you who are married should ask your husbands to get you an angry room in the palace. A room where you can be angry. Anyway, so she goes in, just to trick Dasarath, she goes into her angry room, and she's like, pounding on, oops, sorry. I gotta be careful, because lately I've gotten really, one time I was giving class recently and I threw my glasses off. Sorry, due to my Italian blood. Anyway, so, because in Italy they speak with their hands, you know, like that. So she's out lying on the floor, pounding on the floor, and Dasarath comes in, and he says, What's the problem, my beloved? And she starts crying more and more, and finally he says, whatever you want, I'll get you. And she says, okay. All of a sudden the tears go away. Those are called crocodile tears, where you cry to get something that you want. So she told them the tears go away, and she tells us, I want a problem to be exiled to the Dandakaranya forest. For 14 years, and I want my son Bhak to be installed. And then poor Dasarath, he can't believe what he's heard. He just collapses. And then he gets back to normal, not normal consciousness, but he comes back to external consciousness. He says, what did I hear? And then he starts begging her intensely, intense emotions there, begging her intensely, touching her feet. And begging her anything, do change your mind. She says, no. Like that kind of case. And finally, they call for Ram. Ram comes in, and Dasarath can't say a word. He's completely, let's say, morose, depressed. We talk about clinical depression. Clinical depression. So he's there like, so he can't say anything. And then Kaikeyi says to Ram, you got to go to the forest for 14 years, and Bhart is going to be installed. And Ram, at this point, he doesn't show any emotions. He's just like, okay, whatever you say. And then, so he at this point is like Shanta, really peaceful. And it's amazing. And he even says to Kaikeyi that why did you have to bother my father? Even if you asked me to go, I would have done it. Just a little thing, Plus, I'll have a good time in the forest. So then he goes to tell, first the person he tells is his mother, Kausalya. And his mother is upset, and then Ram starts to get really upset too, because he loves his mother so much. So you see, it's so many loving relationships that are there, intense loving relationships. And Krishna, and Ram is the same person, they're arranging all these things to bring out the intense emotions, not only of their devotees, but even of themselves. Because Ram is enjoying this. You actually enjoy intense emotions, right? I mean, if there wasn't coronavirus, you'd have to invent something else to be upset about. Right? The stock market, or your grades in school. I mean, you have to figure out something, or Donald Trump. I'm sure you have your politicians here. You should be upset about it. Something to be upset about. So anyway, Ram is just like completely, he's practically crying with his mother, consoling his mother. And then Lakshman comes out with his anger. And Lakshman says, well, you see all these intense emotions. Lakshman says, let's just lock up the old fool, referring to his father. The old man's become senile. You're just controlled by that wicked woman. Just put him in jail. And I'll kill him even. Because Lakshman... It's really... I got it quite interesting. I love the Ramayana. I like Krishna too, but... It's not that I'm changing moments. Sometimes you're in Fiji, and the devotees are asked the question all the time in Fiji. Because everyone in Fiji likes the Ramayana, right? Because we're all saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yeah. You know, I want to talk about Ram, but I mean, somehow or other, like, I really like the Ramayana. So anyway, Lakshman, he's so angry, he says, kill the old man, put him in jail. And he's ready to do that. And Ram says, no, he's your father, you've got to respect him. So here there's conflict of emotions there. You know, he's your father. You gotta listen to Ram. I just want to choke the guy. You know, because Lakshman is so loyal to Ram. And the same, Satrughna is so loyal to Bart too. So later on, you have Satrughna. He takes Mantara and he practically kills her. Do you know the story? He grabs the jewels off of her body, throws her on the ground, and starts thrashing her. And Bart has to stop him. So you got these super intense emotions. That's not even so. Lakshman is like that. Kausalya is like that. And then Sita, she's not upset with the whole thing. She just tells Ram, actually this was predicted when I was young. The astrologer said that when I was older I'd have to go to the forest. And Ram says, no, you're staying here. And she threatens to kill herself. If I have to stay here without you, I'll kill myself. You know, really intense stuff. I mean, it's just like, it's so attractive. It's so exciting, the Ramayana. And I'm actually appreciating how reading is much better than seeing movies. Why is that? Because when you see a movie, it's not really, you're not really involving your imagination that much. You're actually, you know, you can't picture it in your mind because it's right in front of you. So it's not really dynamic. It's not really interactive. It's the, you know, you see the movie about Ram or whatever. You know, because I've watched the Ramayana and Mahabharata, all these great movies. Like that, but just reading about it, I picture Ram, and then Ram goes to the forest, and Dasarath wants to follow him, and all the citizens of Ayodhya want to follow Ram, and Kaikeyi is really upset. How can we rule the kingdom without any people before he came. I mean, she was just used for the whole pastime. Anyway, so then to make a little story short, Ram goes to the forest, and first place he goes to is Chitrakoot. And Chitrakoot is not that far away. It's really not that far away from Ayodhya. It's not as far away as Dandakaranya or Janmashtam. So he goes there, and when Bart comes back, he also has these strong emotions, gets angry with his mother, gets back to Ayodhya, I'm talking about. And then immediately he decides to go to convince Ram to come back. So then he goes to convince Ram to come back, and then he has these really intense emotional arguments with Ram. You come back, I'll take your place, I will live like a hermit instead of you. And Ram just, of course, refuses, because he knows the whole purpose of his exile is to actually kill the demons, the Rakshasas. Then Bart, he resides in Nandigram outside of Ayodhya, underground. You know, so much devotion, so much love. You know, that's actually, it's not just a love story between Sita and Ram. It's a love story between practically all the different personalities in different ways in the Ramayana. Because Bart loves Ram so much, he can't bear that Ram would be living a more austere life than him. So he sleeps under the ground, because Ram is sleeping on the ground, so he actually digs a ditch and sleeps underground and knocks his head. I mean, that's it. When they go to the forest, they take the tree sap and they put it, can you imagine, ladies? For me, it wouldn't be a problem. Just take a bath and wash it out. But you take the tree sap and you take the, you know what tree sap is?
Yes.
Yeah.
You. It's like when I was, oh my God, I shouldn't tell you this. When I was young, I would tease the girls by putting bubble gum in their hair. Anyone here ever did that?
Yeah.
No, we're Americans. So,
no.
I don't do it anymore. So, like, tree sap is like bubble gum on steroids. So they rub it all over the hair, and the hair was just like matted. It must have been uncomfortable too. Not just matted, it was uncomfortable. So Bart does that out of love for Ram. And he just like worships. Can you imagine how much love someone has for their brother? That he worships the shoes of Ram as the king. And that's the actual king, the shoes of Ram. And this is real love. This is real intense emotions. Isn't it? I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
People, I mean, normally you hear these stupid love stories like Romeo and Juliet. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet. Watch this. I saw a cartoon the other day. And it said that Romeo and Juliet should have just texted each other instead of yelling from the balcony. Therefore, Romeo. So, I mean, this is all these love stories, and even Bollywood love stories, isn't it? These love magazines, you know, these movie magazines in India, right? So even in Fiji, in the middle of Fiji Times or Fiji Sun, you know, there's like five pages of the latest Bollywood garbage. So, Ramayana is a real love story. And so Bart is like that, okay. And so then, let me fast forward. I'm not going to talk about Ramayana tonight. So then, goes to the Dandakaranya forest. Actually, Dandakaranya literally means a place for austerities. Danda, like stick. Dandakaranya. So Ram is in the Dandakaranya forest. And another interesting thing is course, you all know the story about Surpanaka. And Surpanaka gets deformed by Lakshman. Poor Surpanaka. And she has strong feelings, too. Of course, later on, she does get to have a relationship with Ram when she appears as Kubja, Krishna's pastimes. So she has all these strong emotions. And then, or I was talking about the emotion of fear. What happens is that when Ravan eventually convinces Uncle Marichi to actually take the form of the golden deer, and Marichi does that and lures Ram away to try to capture the deer for Sita, and then Sita convinces Lakshman to go after Ram when Marichi yells out for help in the voice of Ram. Then when that happens, and Ram, after he kills Marich, he sees Lakshman, then Ram feels fear that Sita's not there anymore. When he sees Lakshman, he understands what has happened. So he's experiencing this extreme fear. And then he goes back, and he finds Sita gone, and he experiences extreme anger. And he's ready to destroy the whole universe. I mean, that's how much anger he feels. And he's ready to take his bow out and create destruction for the whole universe. And Lakshman has to say, you know, cool it, Ram. So sometimes you find Ram getting real angry and Lakshman having to cool him down. Sometimes you find Lakshman getting really angry and Ram having to cool him down. Like Lakshman, he was ready at one point, previously in the story, to kill Bart. Because Bart had come, as we mentioned before, to bring Ram back to Ayodhya. But Lakshman thought that Bart had come with the whole army to kill Ram. So he was ready. He said, with my arrow. Actually, in the Ramayana, it's called Savitri. You know, that's the name of Lakshman. It means the son of
Savitri. Yes.
Savitri. That's a very interesting how that different words are used for different characters there. Lakshman is ready to kill Bard and Ram has to cool him down. So back and forth, every page basically is a strong emotion in the mind. And in the Krishna's pastimes too, it's like that. You know, the demons come, everybody's in anxiety. Even sometimes Krishna gets in anxiety when his friends march into the mouth of the Agassura or demon. The gopis are in anxiety, feeling separation from Krishna. Mother Yasoda, and everyone's in anxiety when Krishna's dancing or Krishna's in the water trying to deal with the Kaliya Nag. So continually intense emotions. So, getting back to the present time of coronavirus. So, you're all enjoying, you know, talking about it, feeling fear about it. And I think if one is absorbed in Krishna Katha, then these things are not consequential. It's described in the Bhagavatam that when you're doing Krishna Katha, Yamaraj comes so he can't kill anybody. Isn't it?
Yes.
So Yamaraj, right? Yamaraj even comes to hear the Krishna Katha, so it's pretty safe. So if one wants to be Avaya Sapra Samshudhi, Yani Ravya Vavastitahi, from Bhagavad Gita. If one wants to become free from fear, then one should just be always engaged in Krishna Katha. Then there's no fear. Everything's positive. Just like recently, I've been studying something. This is mundane. Warning. This part is mundane. I've been studying psychology. And it turns out that most of psychology is negative psychology. You know, there's this DSM, some of you may know what that is, diagnostic manual, that I can say, oh, you are a borderline personality kind of. Something like that. but people tend to get really negative in this world. And then there's a new type of psychology called positive psychology. I'm not going to get into it because I'm doing a whole presentation on it. I'm doing research on it. So the whole idea is if we're positive about Krishna consciousness, then Vishwam Purna Shukayate. You ever heard of that expression before? Vishwam Purna Shukayate. Then the whole world is blissful. Everything is blissful because why? Krishna's in charge. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra. Sarvam Chimay Pashati. Tashahamna Panashyami. Tachamena Panashati. Krishna says in the Gita, the sixth chapter, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. Another point of positivity, actually this is the first point of positive psychology, I think a positive outlook. The second point, another point is Sarvasya Chaham Radhi Sanavishta. That Krishna's in your heart, Swarasa Rabhutanam, Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. Your best friend is always with you. That's pretty cool. If you think about it, then everything, I mean, even the fears and the this and that, it's just, you're always positive about life. And if you're positive about life, you're going to be happy, of course, healthier, happier, and be able to bring people with Krishna consciousness. So that's really the point. The whole thing is to see Krishna everywhere, see everything in Krishna, see that Krishna is controlling everything. Ishwara Padma Krishna. Sakshadananda Vidra. Nadiya. Krishna the cause. Krishna the spiritual cause, the material cause of everything. And then when you see like that, then Vishwam Purna Shukayate. Everything is blissful. And then, even if there is some anxiety, it's just part of the game. So, anyway, that's what I want to speak about tonight. The mind is wonderful. Valmiki Ramayana. I know many of you have not read the Valmiki Ramayana, you've got the Tulsidas Ramayana, which is all right. But the Valmiki Ramayana is really full of rus. Tulsidas Ramayana has some rust too, but the Valmiki Ramayana is just it's so exciting. And the descriptions, even of Ravana, even of Varich. Varich is just like a wonderful, let me just tell the story. Varich, of course, is Ravana's uncle. And Varich lost his mother early in the game. His mother was Taraka. You all know Taraka?
Yes.
She was the first demon killed by Ram. She was hideous. And this Varich and Savahu, one of his friends, they were actually defiling the fire sacrifice of Vishwamitra Muni. They were the ones who were throwing pus and everything. And then what happened is that Ram, when he was only 16 years old, he killed Savahu and he fired an arrow at Marich and sent him 800 miles away, 100 yogas, into the ocean. Very interesting thing. And so Marich, he had a little PTSD at that point. You know, post-traumatic stress disorder. So, but he wasn't completely psychologically disturbed. Then after that, this is another story of strong emotions. He decided to really get even with Ram, so he transformed his form into an eight-legged beast who ate men. And he, along with these other eight-legged beasts were going to attack Ram in the forest. And Ram fired an arrow and ran far away. got away from Ram Zaro, Ram killed the other eight-legged beast. And what happened is at that point he decided to take sannyas. He just like stayed in the forest chanting. God knows what he was chanting. But anyway, so he just stayed in the forest chanting. And he was fearful all the time. He really was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. He was thinking, in the Valmiki Ramayana, says that even when he heard a word beginning with R-A, he felt fear. So it mentions specifically, even when he heard the name for Jewel, Ratna, he was just like, oh, Ratna, you know, like this. So these intense feelings he had. But this is actually an indirect rus he had in relationship with Ram. He was thinking of Ram all the time. So later on, when Ravan came and convinced Marich, actually, Ravan came twice to see Marich. The first time, Marich was able to convince Ravan not to kidnap Sita Devi. He said to Ravan, who has given you this bad advice? And Ravan sort of agreed with him at that point, went back to his kingdom. But then Subhanaka convinced Ravan, you have to kidnap Sita. She liked him. She said, I went to kidnap Sita for you, Ravan. She lied. And Ravan convinced Marich, and Marich said, I'm going to die. And Ravan said, well, you got a choice. Either you do this for me and die at my hands right now, or you go into this activity, appear like a golden deer. And Prabhupada said that Marich decided better to be killed by Ram than Ram. So anyway, the point I'm making is that all these Krishna Katha stories, Ram Katha stories, even Varaha stories, they're all filled with like suspense, emotions, intense things, and we just forget about the stuff in this world, like the coronavirus. Think you hear about these things, but who cares? And then Prabhupada said, when you're meant to die, you die. I mean, Prabhupada was talking to the Gaudis one time about World War III. That was one of the favorite topics of the Gaudis that I was talking about. Prabhupada, when the bombs fall, we won't have anything to eat. And Prabhupada said, then we'll die. In a very nonchalant fashion. Not like, you know, if I told all of you, you're all going to die tomorrow. You beg me, no. That's a gun to your head. America, you know, put a gun to your head. This is enough. I said, you're going to die. But Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, only a fool will complain when death comes. Can you manage? I like what Pariksit Maharaj. Pariksit Maharaj was given only 7 days. He was from shelter of Krishna. Maharaj Katvanga. You know the story, Maharaj Katvanga? Maharaj Katvanga was fighting for the demigods. And they said, you can have anything you want. If they said that to me, I'd say, test me. So, I haven't fought with the demigods, so. They say, you have anything you want. And he said, I just want to know when I'm going to die. And they said, well, in a few seconds, check your watch. And he came down to the earth planet, took shelter of Krishna, and went back to God. So, Avaya Shakla Sham Shudhi, Yan Lolo, Vastati. Okay, any questions? Comments? Yes?
Thank you very much. It was really lovely class. So, what's the relation between marriage and Kalanemi?
Kalanemi is, I think they're both uncles of Ravan. It's not mentioned in the Ramayana what their relationship is, but he called them both uncles. Now, whether they were village uncles, or village of Lanka, or whatever, But, you know, they were elder. They were elder. And Bridge is such an interesting character because of his always thinking of Ram and even hearing the syllables of R-A, you know, the syllable R-A, Ra. Yeah, can you imagine that? And he described he would see behind every tree, he was looking to see Ram. That's another description of the Valmiki mind. You look at every tree and you think, Ram. You hear a sound as well. Perfect description of post-traumatic stress disorder.
More so than Kamsa with Krishna?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. I think both. But Kamsa had not... Well, he had lost a lot of his... You have to go? Thank you. We'll see you next time. So, Kamsa had lost all of his friends and his demons. But he hadn't really directly accosted, or Krishna hadn't directly accosted him at that point. And Kamsa was still thinking he was going to be successful. Up until the end, he thought Chanura and Mushtika, you know, the two wrestlers, they were going to be able to kill Krishna. He had some, or the Kuvalya Pita, you know, on the elephant.
Yes.
He thought that was going to be able to kill Krishna. He had so many plans. He really hadn't given up hope. Whereas Lurich had given up hope. I mean, he was hopeless. I mean, completely a psychological mess. Much more than Kamsa was.
But he could function enough to take the form of a deer and properly play that part.
I mean, under duress, because he was threatened. He was threatened by Ravan. You know, basically, Ravan had a gun in his head. He said, I'm going to kill you right now.
It's his uncle, but he had a gun to his head.
Yeah. Not literally. They didn't have a gun. But they had other better mechanisms than guns. Than Ravan. Was described, one thing I just read there was so interesting that when Jataya was attacking Ravan, and this had nothing to do with the question. Jataya was attacking Ravan, and he cut off 10 of the arms of Ravan.
Oh,
10. Ravan had 20 arms.
Oh,
20? Yeah, because
you have
10 heads. If you have 10 heads, you get 2 arms for each head. You got to do mathematics. You had 20 arms, so Jataya cut off 10 of the arms. And it's described that they grew back like snakes. Oh my God. Isn't it? I mean, just like reading about the battle. Like that, it was just, they just sprouted out from the stumps. Robin had, his heads were like that too. So, I mean, such interesting characters. And Jataya was extremely angry. You know, he was finally, of course, he had his wings cut off. And Ravana actually flew back with Sita on his own power without the chariot. Because when Ravana came to kidnap Sita Devi, he brought a chariot. It wasn't the Pushpaka. It was a chariot with mules with human heads. You know what a mule is? Donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Like a donkey with a human head on it.
Funny.
I mean, just the images of these things. And with Jataya actually killed and cut off the heads of all these donkeys with human heads on it. And he destroyed Ravana's chariot. So Ravana actually carried Sita Devi back like this. Through the air on his own power. So that don't believe the movie. It's a Ramayana. Anyway. So anyway, getting back to the story of Marich. So Marich, yeah, basically that was to help him become Krishna conscious. Akama, Asalakama, Moshakama, Dharati, Tadama, Bhakti. Well, somehow or other one has to think of Krishna. Even if it's out of fear, or anger, for greed. Like it's described, like getting back to Kubja, she was thinking of Krishna out of lust. Her relationship, which she was previously Sudhanaka, but previously she just had pure lust. But as Kubja, it was a mixed thing. It was lust, not pure devotional service, but that became purified. By thinking of the Lord intensely. So the main thing is we're meant to develop intense emotions in relationship to Krishna, Ram, and Krishna's pure devotees. And those intense emotions, volume, intense hankering, will actually help us cross over the ocean of material resistance. And this is a lesson I'm learning from reading the Ramayana. But instead, we have all these intense emotions about coronavirus, or we even had one temple send out a notice that we're not going to have Gorpanima in the temple. Everybody attend Gorpanima by internet. Can you imagine? You don't just have a pujar and everybody on the internet.
Where's that, in Malay?
You tell intense love with Krishna or Ram.
Yeah.
But actually, Krishna is a detest. How can you love, intense love with detest person?
Krishna, well, that's interesting you say Krishna. Of course, Krishna is the original Atma Ram, self-satisfied. That's what you're referring to. But Krishna is not detached from love of his devotees. Krishna is swarat, he's independent, he's aptakama, he gets whatever he wants, he doesn't need anything. At the same time, his love for us is pure because he doesn't need anything from us. Someone's love is not pure when you need someone to fulfill some of your needs or desires. Let's say if I become like a salesman. I mean, how many salesmen have we met? Maybe you haven't. But how many salesmen have I met that really show a lot of devotion for me? I went into a car dealership a few years ago. And the car I couldn't deal with. But I went in the car dealership about 10 years before I had been to the same dealer. And he remembered me. He said, "Oh, Mr. Swami, whatever." "How's the Swami family? It's so good to see you again." As Prabhupada said, too much devotion is the sign of a thief. So his love for me was not unalloyed. It was Lloyd, not unalloyed. It was such a word. Alloyed. Yeah, alloyed. You got it right. It was alloyed. Not even alloyed. Alloyed means a mixture.
Oh.
It was just pure exploitation. You know, if it was alloyed, it wouldn't be proper because there would be actually some love there. But someone really loves you when they care for you and they're not getting anything from it. That's my definition of love. And of course, that's the love that gopis felt for Krishna. The gopis said, or Radharani says, that if my unhappiness gives Krishna happiness, then my unhappiness or my misery is my happiness. You know, it appears to be like a contradiction. So in other words, that's pure. You know, you don't get anything. You just want Krishna to be happy. You're just concerned with Krishna going out to the fields barefooted. He's hurting his feet. I mean, the closest thing to that is a mother's love in this world. The mother will always love the child. I call my mother and she just, even though she's 92 and she doesn't remember anything else but me. That's pretty good. That's my devotee. Doesn't remember where she is. Basically, she doesn't remember if she was ever married. How did she get me? But anyway, at that time, what was not illicit affairs is really not. That's something new, modern world. So, but me, it's just, oh. She remembers my phone number. She can't remember. She doesn't even know where she lives. I call her up and she said, they just moved my apartment to Florida. And she's in New York. But she remembers me, so that's love. So anyway, so so here's Krishna. All right, going back to the question. Yes, Krishna is detached. He's Atmaram and Atmakama and Swarat and all those other nice things. But he really loves us for no reason whatsoever other than we're us. You know, we're just parts and parcels. I mean, just like you could say, you know, I love your hand. It's a relationship is a little bit similar with Krishna. That obviously is part of the body. So we're actually connected intimately with Krishna, of course, with each other too. Not like the hippies say, we're all one. So. But we're all connected. Krishna's the central point, and we're all connected with each other. And of course, one who loves Krishna. Yastu Saravani Bhutani Atmane Vana Pashati Sarvapatesha Chatmana Gato Vinyanushate. One who loves Krishna doesn't hate anyone, loves everybody. Isn't it? So, So Krishna loves all of us so much that he's making plans how to bring us back. This is brought out in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, where he says to Gopal Kumar that I was just wondering, when are you coming back? And he said, I was wondering so much that I became your guru. He became Gopal Kumar's guru. And then when he finally comes back to the spiritual world, Gopal Kumar, Krishna faints out of ecstasy, embracing him. And all the coward boys think that Gopal Kumar is a demon because Krishna's become unconscious. They think that, you know, who is this demon who's actually devastated Krishna? But in actuality, Krishna's just so happy, waiting for an easy time. And, you know, this is shown in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It says, when is he coming back? So Krishna's thinking about that with every one of us. When is that rascal coming back to me? And he's making plans. And that's why he sent Prabhupada. And he sends other people, not in Christianity, in Jesus Christ, who Krishna sent him, and every religion. Even in the Malacha Shastras, it says that in sundry places and circumstances, he appears, he sends people. Actually, he says that in Bible. So, that's love. Yes, he doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's hard for us to understand why someone would love someone else if they didn't need anything. That's really hard. Because, I mean, generally, you know, people do things because they at least some mixed motives. You know, so, I mean, let's say someone gets married, it's not always because of pure love. Like in the, isn't it so popular? Or Bollywood film? It's because if people are thinking, you know, I have this need, and this person will help me fulfill this need for companionship, this need for whatever. Right? I mean, I'm not denigrating people who are married. It's okay. It's okay. But I'm just saying, you have to understand it's not pure. As much as you make things, you can go on the internet, Facebook, and show a picture of you and your beloved. or you in front of the deities. And it's interesting, people go in front of the deities and they do selfies in front of the deities. It's unbelievable. I mean, in front of Krishna, actually, And our Vrindavan temple says no selfies. Because people always want to have this picture of themselves. Here's me. If you look at anyone's like vacation album, it's like, here's me in front of the Eiffel Tower. Here's me at the Harbor Bridge. Me and my sweetie at the Harbor Bridge. So, the relationships in this world are not pure unless they're centered on Krishna, of course. There is some nature. We understand that. I'm not criticizing anyone for that. You know, it's just like life. And you have to work a job, too. Some of you work jobs, right? Why? Because you want some money. And if there wasn't any money, would those of you who have jobs work your jobs? My question?
No.
Probably not. Isn't it? I mean, if the person said, you know, you got to work for love. come and work for love. Hare Krishna. So, and even in the beginning of devotional service, it's motivated too. You know, Chatur Vidha
Bhajante Ma.
You know, people come to Krishna because they want wealth. People come because they're inquisitive. People come because they want knowledge. Or people come because they're in distress. I mean, everybody wants that. So, but in the end, you don't want anything from Krishna. You can crush me by your embrace. You can leave me brokenhearted and not be present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything, and you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. This is pure love. And then Krishna has this pure love for us. I mean, we really understood that. Anyway, if we really understood that, we'd be just overwhelmed with gratitude. That makes sense. So Krishna does love us, even though he doesn't mean anything. Because that's generally love in this world means we need something. You know, everything fulfills, not everything, but most things fulfill certain needs or desires I have. Well, I love your mobile phone. So, any other questions? Or comments?
Yeah, Guruji, Ramayan that Krishna Dharma come out, his version, is that based on the Valmiki?
Yeah, and it's summarized. It doesn't have all the details here. The Valmiki Ramayan is the world's largest epic poem.
So where do you get a copy of that? Has ISKCON done that? Or?
No, ISKCON hasn't done that. The Gita Press has actually published a very nice version that's in Old English.
Old English.
It's in old, like, almost like Shakespeare in English. Which is really nice.
You studied
Shakespeare.
Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet. Yes, very interesting. Shakespeare was very excellent. Prabhupada would often quote Shakespeare. Life is but a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard, seen no more of Shakespeare. So, anyway, so that's the Ramayana. And I'm sure that there's some good versions of Ramayana on the internet. More modern translations of Ramayana. And it's actually one of my favorites in literature.
So reading those stories you mentioned before, it brings out the emotions.
Yeah.
So that's obviously important, so not just reading philosophy, but the stories are going to bring out that emotion. So whether it's Ramayana or, you know, Krishna book or something like that.
Right. But you notice the way Prabhupada arranged Krishna book is he interspersed the philosophy with stories. And that's the 10th canto.
Yeah.
Actually, the whole Bhagavatam is like that, that you have some story and then there's prayers. Mm-hmm. Another story and more prayers. Mm-hmm. Or philosophy. Like we were just reading, and in the United States, we're covering the chapter of Brahma stealing the cowherd boys and the calves. And then after that, when Brahma's apologizing, there's so many beautiful prayers that he's offering. And one of the final prayers, I think it was chapter 14, one of the final prayers is that when one performs devotional service or meditates on Krishna, the whole material ocean becomes shrunk to the size of a calf's footprint. And then it's described by the acharyas that what that means is that one is able to cross over the ocean without even noticing that they've crossed over the ocean.
Oh.
That's amazing.
I was stuck on that as well.
Yeah. that you just, you're so much immersed in Krishna consciousness, you forget that you crossed over the ocean. That's real Krishna consciousness. Rasa Vartam, Rasa Prasav, Rasa Vartate, you know, higher taste, higher pleasure. So, yeah, this Krishna Gita, we're so fortunate to have Krishna Gita. And if we repose our emotions in that, then these other things in this world, yeah, coronavirus. I'm so upset about it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, take precautions, yeah. You know, if someone's coughing, just stay away.
But don't run if you see the Chinese person.
Yeah.
Across the street.
You know, it's just like, just have to, you know, life is like that, it's dangerous. Padam, that's another verse from that same thing. Padam, yadvi, padam, patesha. There's danger at every step. That's actually the same verse. There's danger at every step in this material world. When you drive into the car, as Prabhupada said, he reversed the words. He said, break speed. Breakneck. You just breakneck and probably reverse it, neck break. So you're driving in the car. You know how dangerous that is? How many people got hurt on the way to Mayapur? We're going to Mayapur this year in the car. And right before we went to Mayapur, we got a notice from actually it was Bhakti Chumar, he gave us a notice. We've arranged a helicopter ride for all of you. So everyone was going, Jai. Now we're safe. And then right before that, this famous person had a helicopter.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. So,
everyone was fearful.
It's actually funny. Right before we went to Mayapur, we had this beautiful helicopter, army helicopter. You know, very good helicopter we had. And I was in India. I'm not getting in a helicopter. I mean, maybe they have goats propelling it or something. It's about the pedals. You know. A rickshaw. So, right before, you know, the devotees were supposed to go in a helicopter to Mayapur, then this accident happened. And everyone said, let's forget that. Everyone got fearful at that point. So, padam padam yadvi padam yatesha. There's danger at every step. And you take some precautions, but you just go on with life. You know, obviously, you know, everybody here had, you know, coronavirus. And, you know, I'd be real careful. You have it?
No.
but you just can't get, you know, paranoid and fearful all the time about life, you know. Whatever. You know, I go to Fiji and they talk about dengue fever. I don't want to go outside because there's mosquitoes outside. You know, so you can be fearful all the time. But ultimately, it'll get you. You're fighting a losing battle. That's possible. Because Krishna is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Prabhupada said, actually the Vedic literature says, so when Krishna wants to protect you, then you can, you'll be protected. Now if Krishna wants to kill you, you're going to have the best doctors in the world and nothing. That's the whole point. It's just like, take shelter of Krishna, use your intelligence to protect yourself while you're in this world. Don't do anything foolish. Don't go bungee jumping. Sorry about that. You know, if you go bungee jumping, if something happens, don't blame Krishna. Bungee jumping means when you jump off of a big building or a bridge with a rubber band tied to your feet.
That's all that's
saying, yeah. Yeah, there's big rubber band attached to you. And so, you know, why take unnecessary risks?
That would
be too risky. That's
too risky. Abseiling would be better.
What would you like?
Abseiling is so fun.
Yeah,
so basically, like, you wear a harness and you're basically going down rocks or a cliff edge.
Oh.
Yeah, we've done it off a cliff edge.
Okay, that's fine. All right, any other questions? No? So, what's that?
Just had a question about, you know how you were saying that with Ramayana there's all these intense emotions from all of the various people in it. Right from the beginning, whenever I heard about Ramayana, I feel like I never looked at it in the correct way, because whenever I heard about these things, like let's say for example, Lord Ram was asked to go to the forest, my first thought would always be, he's God, like nothing can happen to him anyway, so is it really that intense for him, because he's invincible, so what can happen to him anyway, so what is the correct way to look at that?
Well, the correct way is he's forgetting he's God. Because if you just think, you know, I'm God, nothing can happen to me, I'm invulnerable, you know, this is all just like a show, then what's the fun?
Yeah.
Right? Mm. I mean, just like when I was young, we would play cops and robbers. Mm. So we did that. Cops and robbers. And we actually had guns. You know, like caps, you know. Caps. I don't think they allow them anymore with this.
They still do.
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know in America, if you have one, the first thing you think they have a real gun, they'll shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't. They don't sell them anymore. So we used to play. I mean, I knew that I was just a little kid, and it was just a show. But I got so much into it that I was just like having fun. You know, you're dead. So Krishna, he gets into it. That's yoga maya. Yoga maya is Krishna's internal potency that makes him and the devotees forget about who he is, so we can get into these pastimes and enjoy life. What's the enjoyment about remembering your God all the time? It's a pretty boring life, isn't it?
Oh.
Especially if everyone's making requests from you all the time.
Yeah.
It was that.